Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, Parking the Bus. I'm Palash. I have my friend Shivshav with me.
Hey guys.
So, a boring week, but an interesting one also. So, let's park the bus.
Yeah.
So, Chef Charan, let's start with where should we start from this international break?
My God, it has been very long time since we had an international break, and I mean, I really...
And it's sometimes refreshing also, is what I
think. It is, but like I have actually gotten used to that, you know, 3 days once football, and you know, you have some football match to watch every single day. So I was getting used to that. But right now, I mean, club football. I'm not talking about country football, club football. But right now, since it's international break, I think, I mean, the players also need rest. The players need to probably, you know, visit their homes too. So it's fair play to them too. But as fans, I think I will always, you know, miss club football when it's international break. I mean, I was just hoping that no... very worse, you know, COVID cases or no worse injuries should happen during the international break. I think as far as right now, everything is decently going okay. There are a couple of injuries, yes. But I feel other than that, the COVID has not hit players. The injuries have not affected players by in any means.
Well, for me, international break is something that is what we can say as refreshing. Like, suppose a player is not in form and he gets international game time and he suddenly becomes this, like, let's say, James or Gareth Bale.
Yeah.
They are the pillars of they are the sole pillars of their respective countries. And if they don't perform well for club also, they will perform good for the country. And that is for sure. Like, let's say Daniel James, he's not getting that sort of game time. But when he got game time in international break, we all saw what he can do. Like that.
Yes.
And particularly, is there any country that you follow?
Oh my God. Here we go. Okay. I am a fan of Germany.
Sorry. But that was necessary also.
Okay, I mean, I think
okay, in one word, low in or low out?
Obviously out. He's leaving after this Euros, so I'm happy for that.
And whom would you like as a replacement for
you? Really wish that Liverpool and Klopp part ways, and Klopp replaces Low.
I also particularly wish that. Because I would love to see, because Klopp is like someone who can build this Germany team into the 2014 time.
Yes.
But can I say something?
Yeah.
This is a trend that I have seen from many years.
Okay.
Like when Bayern Munich won everything, not this time, in 2014, I guess, Low used that form and made that Germany team a more dangerous team and used that form to win actual World Cup. Same happened with Spain in 2010 when Barcelona won all. In 2018, I guess that wasn't the case, but as French team is a combination of players from different parts of the world, I can say. Yeah. And all players are world class, so that is quite understandable. But this season, this time, I really, really, really hope that the Bayern Munich effect will affect the performance of Germany team. But
exactly.
That is not happening. And is that
the thing? Is that the fact is something that, actually this Low had told a couple of players to actually leave the team because he told that he is building the team for the future. Which is not a bad thing at all, okay? But there are few players who, like, you know, who were dropped unnecessarily. Like, Sule did not start the match. I do not know why. Let me talk about the match which we played with North Macedonia. or Macedonia. I'm sorry if the pronunciation is wrong. So in that match, I particularly felt Timo Werner and the Kai Havertz substitution was not necessary. I mean, Kai Havertz could have played the number 9 for the entire match. It was going pretty well since, you know, I mean, till then. I feel Lowe was carried by the team in the 2014 World Cup. Because, I mean, 2014, right? Yeah, 2014 World Cup. Because the team which Germany played then was like a little beast with Bastian Schweinsteiger and prime Thomas Muller, Ozil.
No, but I would still say that this German team has that capabilities in them.
Yes, it
like
it does have.
Okay, we can say that one thing I would like to point out in this German team is they don't have that kind of goals in them. But you look at the front line options. You have Kai Havertz, whom last season was not able to, like, no one was able to stop him. Sané, world class. Gundogan, who is like, from somewhere, this is the world's best midfielder. One of the world's best midfielder. Serge Gnabry, Timo Werner. These are the options for the front line. And yet, if they can't score more than one goal, then that's something that they have to
win. See, the thing is that when it comes to international football, the players are from different clubs. So, they've adapted to a particular type of system. So, I feel that the manager should create a system in such a way that suits at least the best among... that suits and makes the players adapt among the best and get it out of them. That is what I feel Lowe is lacking right now. From the previous World Cup...
Are you good with back three?
I personally am not a fan of back three, to be honest. Because with the firepower we have, I feel the back three is not necessary. Because you put in an extra line of, you know, defense, whatever. But this was... What Germany played was not exactly a back three. Because Kimmich played lone CDM, which I do not actually...
Was basically a next center back or
Right back. It was basically a 4-4-2 or something like that, which is a little remodeled.
3-1-4-2.
Yeah, 3-1-4-2 was the formation, but I think it was a remodeled 4-4-2. So I feel that Lowe is not getting the best out of the players. I understand Timo Werner missing the goal was a blunder. I understand few players could have played a little better. But all I'm saying is, for example, take Gundogan, take Sané, take Goretzka, take Kimmich. They, in their own respective clubs, are beasts. They literally carry their clubs solo.
Gnabry also.
Exactly, Serge Gnabry. I forgot about Serge Gnabry. All of them are beasts in their own club. So, all I'm asking is, where are they gone now? Everyone is supposed to improve in the international break. But I do not know why Germany players are not...
Also, one thing I would like to ask you, do you agree with, after the game, I saw some comments from German football fans saying that these defenders are not good enough for us. So do you agree that Emre Can or Rudiger, or Ginter, these players are not good enough? Because Kimmich is very class.
So, I really... if you know me, I am not a very big fan of Rudiger. Because, I mean, I did not like him a lot in Chelsea. But in the recent times, under Tuchel, Rudiger has been the most amazing defender on the field. Okay.
Exactly.
Thiago Silva did not play. Rudiger paired up with Zuma and Christensen and gave us so much of clean sheets. So, I don't see a problem with Antonio Rudiger right now. He has that... intent to defend. He does make some maybe 2-3 mistakes, but you have touched again in goal, so you don't have to like actually worry about the back line. So blaming the back line, blaming the front line, blaming the midfield, everything can be done, but I personally will always tell that the manager is where the fault is at. Because take the French team. The French team is the perfect example. Didier Deschamps bought in players from so many places. Man U, Chelsea, Griezmann from Barcelona or Atletico, and, you know, Mbappe from PSG. Different clubs different leagues, he bought players and made them into a super glue, and their chemistry is right now on top of the chart. That is what I expect from a manager.
That is something I would agree and disagree at the same time, because you can't say, like, just how much time Lowe will get with Timo Werner? These 2 weeks? In 2 weeks, he can't just, like, suppose Timo Werner during Lampard was playing at wing. I guess he's now also playing at wing only.
Yeah.
Lowe can't just come and say to Timo Werner that, hey, Timo, you have to play at number 9 role for this German squad. Because he won't be able to fit in, like, how much he can do in 2 weeks, that you have to play games. That 2 weeks is not enough time. 2 weeks is just games.
Yes,
games,
I agree.
Games.
But, like, my argument here is that Lowe actually has been a fan of the academy. I mean, not the academy, meaning the younger generation more than the older generation. Everyone in a football, you know, field knows, like, you know, will understand that Lowe is always a player who will give youngsters chance more than the older generation. So, Timo Werner has been in the German squad even from the last World Cup, which we lost against, you know, we went out in the group stages.
South Korea, yes.
He was in the squad. He did not play the matches. He played a few matches, but he was in the squad, is all I'm saying. So, I'm saying, I understand that he has lesser time with him. Everything is fair enough. But I don't think Mbappe had a lot, like, lot of time with Deschamps either, because he's, what, 19 when he won the World Cup? I don't think 18 or 17 he was in the French national team.
But the thing is, what I would like to say here is, Mbappe play, like, French team has a particular model which they are following.
Yes.
Like, you give a long ball to Giroud, then Giroud will just put it down, and then Mbappe and Griezmann will run. That was the model for World Cup. And if you see clearly, Giroud did not have goal contributions, but he was the most important part of that team. Over here, in this German squad, one thing personally I don't see is a system.
Exactly.
Agree. Like, this match, Ter Stegen started. I won't be surprised if next international break, or I guess that will be directly Euros only, this Manuel Neuer starts.
A few weeks ago, I mean, the last international break, both Ter Stegen and Neuer did not start. They started Kevin Trapp. So, and even Bernd Leno.
Yeah.
So, I'm saying just hold on to a system, if you have one, that is. And just stick with it. Just believe in the system. Why do you have to keep changing systems and not allowing the players to adapt? I understand your point where the fact that players do not get a lot of time with the manager. But all I'm saying is, you are the manager of your national team. So, that must be something which should not be taken lightly. And me being a fan of Germany for a very long time, right now feels really bad, because we are not even considered as top 10 in the world. We are in the 13th rank in overall FIFA rankings, which is, for me, a disgrace for a team like Germany, because people are scared of Germany. They are afraid to be put in the same group as Germany.
Yeah. And that too, this is the year where Bayern Munich won everything. We could have just continued that form. And also, one more thing, last. Do you think? Can Germany or are Germany's favorites to win EuroLeague?
Nope. I'm very, very, very sure that we are not even in the competition. We are not even in the race to win Euros because of the other teams present. Because look at other teams performing. You know, Portugal. If Ronaldo doesn't score, you know who scores? Neto. Neto scores two goals. I mean, sorry, Jota. Jota scores two goals for Portugal out of nowhere. You don't have.
And Germany's group is also very, very easy.
France, you don't have to talk about them also, because they are super glue. Then take England. England is another team which which will rise up to the place only when it's needed. But
no, if you see Germany's group is France, Germany, exactly. Hungary, and Portugal. That is proper. That is the definition of group of death.
And I have a zero doubts that we will qualify, because I am very sure we will not qualify. That is what I mean. Because you look at how Portugal is playing, you look at how France is playing. I am not sure how Hungary plays. I was not sure how North Macedonia plays, but they beat us 2-1 a couple of days ago. So I will not be surprised at all if Germany gets disqualified from the group, because I'm used to this. And after the Euros, Lo has announced that he will be leaving the club. So I don't mind if that happens sooner. That's all. So
I guess you
no
don't
hopes
have any
at all. No hopes at all.
Hopes. Well, if you ask me, I don't personally have any favorite national team apart from Indian football team. But yes, I would love to. I quite like. I follow English national team a bit, because I follow English for Premier League. So I think that following that league is
understandable.
That I should do. I don't understand what Southgate is also doing, personally. And I would love to make a point here. If England fails to win this time, Southgate should be sacked and Arsene Wenger should be
banned. Honestly, I feel that I will second that. Gareth Southgate may or may not be doing the right job, I do not know. But the fact that the team he has, the options he has that he can play is really, really shocking and like dangerous, because Phil Foden, Declan Rice, Jude Bellingham, and these are few of the midfielders who are there. And this, I did not even include Jack Grealish and James Maddison here.
Mason Mount.
The players are on another level, actually, are on another level. And I mean, striker being Harry Kane, put Sterling in the right, you know, they have. I forgot about Rashford. And you have Dominic Calvert.
In form, J.C. Lingard.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin. My God, the team literally.
Holy Watkins.
The team, it's actually very, very dangerous to even talk about. But England have been known to bottle cups after cups. Because when they couldn't win with Lampard, Scholes, and, you know, Gerrard. And, you know, Gerard. Ferdinand, Terry.
But that time I heard that, I saw from a podcast, I remember, someone said that all these players, you know, they had their kind of attitudes. Like Lampard was Chelsea's main man. So he expected himself to be that English team's main man. Same applied with Gerrard. And why they expected themselves to be the main man, that was quite understandable. Lampard was winning Premier League. Gerrard won UCL. So, that was kind of understandable. But, yeah, it's like, I from what I have heard, I'm just saying that. But, yeah, this English team, I don't understand. Before this international break, I remember Southgate went with back three of Stones, Dyer and Maguire. Now, out of these three, two of them are fridge. Like proper fridge. Maguire and Dyer. Now, Eric Dyer out of picture. Okay. Whom would you have as right back? That is the biggest dilemma. I don't want to be in Southgate's place for this. What is your ideal right back for England? I'll tell you the options. Kyle Walker. Reece James. Trent Alexander-Arnold. Trippier. Am I missing out on someone? Van Bissaka, okay. Left back, I guess, Luke Shaw is pretty clear. At
Luke Shaw
point of
and
time,
Ben Chilwell are Ben pretty Chilwell. Much main options, I think.
But I guess Luke Shaw at this point of time is
Luke Shaw is playing really well, so I think he's cemented his position.
But right back, so many options. Whom would you pick? Tell me your top three in the order.
The same. Oh, okay. This may be... Okay, the first one is a little biased, I will accept. but I will choose Reece James. You can call me biased.
Over Trent, Wan-Bissaka, everyone.
I will choose Reece James because I feel he's better defensively than the others here.
I guess Wan-Bissaka is the best defensively.
Yes, defensively, Wan-Bissaka is amazing. But I feel as an all-rounder, you know, both in crosses and a little in defense, I feel it is definitely biased. I'm not going to reject that fact. But okay, I think, honestly telling, I will tell probably Wan-Bissaka number one, Kyle Walker number two, and probably Reece James number three.
For me, it will be Kyle Walker number one. No, sorry, Trent right. as number one. Because Trent has won everything.
Yes. He's just 19. That I agree.
He can do anything right now.
Mm.
Anything. Then second number, I'll give it to Kyle Walker. And third, I would love to give it to Wan-Bissaka. Fourth, special shout out to Reece James because he's good enough. But I don't think so. Like he will provide as much as okay. So what are your back two? If we go for a 4-3-3 formation.
Okay, back two for England. I think Maguire is pretty clear that he will be there.
And John Stones on
form. I forgot about John Stones. Okay. If you want me to go a little out of you know picture, I would honestly tell John Stones and Tyrone Mings.
That is a good option, but I guess Harry.
Exactly. Maguire, so I will still I will pick Maguire over this Mings. So I think my two will be Maguire and what is this other John Stones.
Mings.
For you.
Okay. Same.
I think that's pretty clear.
We forgot about one more debatable what? Problem. That is goalkeeper. Nick Pope, Pickford, and Joel Henderson.
Oh my god.
I will personally pick Pope.
See, the thing is that Pope is good, I understand. For this particular Euro qualifiers, I think Pickford wasn't called up. I do not know why, but
because of I guess the way Carlo Ancelotti is treating Pickford.
Okay, see, okay, but let's keep that aside for a while. I think I would choose Pickford because every time Chelsea versus Everton happens, we will cross every possible defense and shoot goals, but there will be this one wall standing in the goal line and preventing every single goal, which is Jordan Pickford. So, I am personally a fan of Jordan Pickford, although I love Nick Pope and Dean Henderson the most. But I think I will still choose Pickford over Pope.
Fair enough.
Mm.
I would agree. But yeah, for me, Pope, don't know why. I have some soft corner for him because last season, I guess. And then left back, I guess we talk.
Oh my
then
God.
Midfield.
So bad to be with start.
Who should be your... I guess if Jordan Henderson is fit, then he
yes, Declan Rice, I think Declan Rice. Proper cemented his positions. Two matches, two man of the matches.
And Jordan Henderson, as he is a leader that sort of that England needs and experience also. So I guess he will be someone who will be starting. Now comes the main position comes as number 10. So I'll tell you the options. Mason Mount. Jack
James Grealish, Madison. James Madison,
J.C. Lingard, James Madison, and I don't want this to happen. Like, I personally do want this to happen, but if it happens, then R.I.P. Gareth Southgate.
Delhi Ali, Jude Bellingham also.
Yeah, Bellingham I guess will challenge Declan Rice, okay. Jordan Henderson.
Okay. Phil Foden.
Phil Foden. Because the way system that Southgate is playing is, I saw in one match, Mason Mount and this, I don't remember, I guess Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish has wings.
Which this
so
this Euro qualifier?
I didn't see a lot of. I guess.
Oh, then
this break only one match, or I don't remember which. So, but I did not understand that system because both of them had one duty, that was to feed Harry Kane. But that was not being done like properly because Mason Mount is a proper number 10 or number 8 in my team. I can remove Jordan Henderson or Mason Mount, like put Mason Mount there. I guess Mason Mount will be the one because
he plays that level of football. He's really, really good. So I wouldn't be surprised if Southgate picks him over Henderson.
Yeah, and number 10, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Grealish. Grealish I mean, fit. I cannot even imagine how Grealish, Rice, and Mount trio would look like because that is what, you know, a lot of teams are trying for, also. You know, that is.
I personally don't think. I personally think someone
that,
will be replaced by
yes,
Gordon
Anderson.
Yes, that
is definitely
I
for
have
sure.
This feeling.
I also agree in that place. But I guess. I do not know, man. This midfield is really confusing.
Can we all agree that number 9
totally.
Will be Harry Kane?
I'm not even going to debate on that.
And who will be your two other wingers? Jadon Sancho, Phil Foden, Raheem Sterling, what's his name? Rashford?
No, I don't think you. I think you've named someone. Pretty much everyone.
Calvert-Lewin, if he or Watkins, if they want to play out wide.
But I think both of them would prefer the number 9 position. So, I feel Harry Kane number 9 is fixed. Maybe Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But I feel Kane is set there. I think Raheem Sterling also is pretty much a sure shot. Because, you know.
Then Sancho or Rashford?
Sancho, Rashford, and then I think one more name, Phil Foden.
I don't think so. Phil Foden over Sancho or Rashford.
I would go Rashford.
No one knows what can happen.
Who would you go?
Even I would like to go Rashford, but depends on what, like, what role Harry Kane is given. Like, if he's given a role like Tottenham, like, you. Quite falls deep and then passes the ball to Son. Then that Son can be Raheem Sterling and Rashford all together. That can be altogether dangerous different squad. But if he is the one who Southgate asks to score all the goals for the team, then I guess Sancho will start because Sancho is a creator in himself. And I don't think so, Harry Kane will be given that deep kind of role because they have Mason Mount and probably if Grealish comes, then two number 10s, like two players who can create a lot.
There's actually even Mason Greenwood, I think.
Yeah,
but
I don't think so. He'll go.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's too young. Yeah, but this squad,
I
do
honestly,
you see this squad finish?
Like, to be honest, I feel. I clearly see them at least in the semi-finals, okay? But since it's England, I am not very... Like, the fact that you will not be able to, you know, tell that, you know, they will win the trophy because about 3 weeks ago, I had a friend who's an Arsenal fan and I was literally betting against him saying Tottenham are going to win the Europa. And 1 week later, they get disqualified. So, I am just scared that the same thing will happen to England because England have been known for bottling so much. Because last World Cup, no one expected them to go out against Croatia. So, all I'm saying is, you can actually take them as favourites. You can take them as non-favourites. But they are definitely not the dark horses because everyone knows they are a very, very tough side.
And do you see them like? I would love to read the group. So the group that England is in is Croatia, very 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 good team. Like Luka Modric, oh my god! a friend of mine who is a Real Madrid fan told me that Luka Modric is world's best midfielder. I have other names. He was like, he sent me some videos, and he also asked me to see one Croatia match. And man, he's the most creative guy in the world, right?
Because I was this person who kept telling the Ballon d'Or to Luka Modric is unfair. But I think I will have to eventually stop saying that because of the quality of football he shows.
We forgot one name in English for. Guess.
I think he'll be stuck with the under-21s. I don't think he'll right now, as of now, be.
I personally want him to be promoted because he's that good.
Bukayo Saka is really, really good, and I would love to see him here. But I think him, Hudson Odoi, everyone is there in the under-21s performing there.
Okay. Apart from that, England's group has Czech Republic. Some of the famous players from Czech Republic are Thomas
yes.
Suchek. Then Patrick Sicek, I don't know how to pronounce. He's a Bayer Leverkusen forward, like I remember him. So pretty good squad, Czech Republic. And the third team which they have is
Scotland. Andy Robertson.
Now, if I...
Robertson, Billy Gilmore, both of them, I'm very sure, are in Scotland. They are a pretty good side, actually. Exactly.
Scott McTominay.
They are a very good side.
Ryan Fraser. And then, Callum Peterson, I've heard this name.
Yes.
They are a pretty good squad. It will be tough. Actually, I'm waiting for Euros now. It's like the groups look more interesting.
Yes.
Is there any other team which you would like to pick up and say?
I was thinking before, France and Portugal are actually, according to me, pretty good sides. You know, the favourites according to me. But since both of them have, I forgot that both of them are in the same group. So, I think we will see two matches between them also to, identify who is the better side. France is obviously the better side. All I'm saying is I feel Portugal.
Okay. Can you tell me your France starting 11?
France, I think the defense is pretty much very, clear. According to me, the defense is Benjamin Pavard, Rafael Varane, Kimpembe, and I think the right back position should go to what's his name? Umtiti maybe. I don't know how Umtiti.
I would rather start Benjamin Pavard, this Rafael Varane.
How did I forget about him? Okay.
And Luka Dini, because he is quite creative. If Pavard is not doing the creative stuff,
Personally like Kimpembe, so I'm starting Kimpembe, but otherwise I think I'll have to agree. I will agree with yours.
Ferland Mendy is also there. I guess he'll start over Luka Dini.
Yeah.
In goal, I guess. There's no doubt Hugo Lloris Mendy. Who are those two?
They play the diamond formation.
2-3-1
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the diamond formation. My bad. Sorry. The two, obviously, one is N'Golo Kante.
Is he fit?
He will be fit within the Euros for sure. He's just undergone a light minor surgery. He will be definitely fit within the Euros. So, N'Golo Kante for sure. And Paul Pogba, yes. But I don't think I would like to see Paul Pogba playing in a in that behind of a role. Because in that three, I would think Paul Pogba, Antoine Griezmann and Mbappe are set. I don't think anyone else.
Yeah. Mbappe.
So.
And so who will be number nine? Anthony Martial?
Giro.
I guess that what you are saying can be true also, but I think if France were to change something, then Giro will be the first one to see off. And maybe Griezmann falls into that role and Dembele, creative number 10, I guess Rabiot is one. And
but I feel Giro is not going down the pecking order anytime soon because he's such a great holding player because France doesn't need a goal scorer. They just need a player who can hold the ball inside the box and two jet-like people will fly into the box and score goals.
That I agree, but if they were to change something, I guess the Giro will be the first one to be cut out because of various because of his age also. And teams will know by now that France does this. So, Giro is one of the world's best holding striker. Ball, I'll say attacker, striker. But there will be defenders like Ramos and all who is very difficult for them. Or even if, let's say, France plays Germany and they play Sula or Rudiger. So, both of them,
agreed.
Tall enough to tackle Giro. So that is something that concerns me. And I guess Ousmane Dembele on the basis
of and even Anthony Martial is really, really fast. So with the speed.
Martial, I don't see a chance. I don't know why.
He could get a chance, is all I'm saying. They have two more players who will never get called up, I'm very sure. Both of them who I do not know why. I mean, one of them, Karim Benzema, I do not know. Some problem within the team, he will not get called up. But the other player, I do not know why he's not getting a call up, is Alexander Lacazette. Because.
Do you seriously think Lacazette is.
No, all I'm saying is. All I'm saying is, they could at least give him a call up. And you never know what will be the problem in the striking place. You never know what the team needs, is all I'm saying. Lacazette is not a bad player.
He's not fit for the system. And also I've heard that there are some fights inside the squad. Like, I don't know. That's why Lacazette and Benzema are not getting call-ups. Otherwise, Benzema is someone who can get into any team in the world, apart from a few.
And, yes.
People would love Benzema. So, now from this, I guess let's move on to a little bit of Premier League. So, first of all,
huge.
Aguero is leaving.
And
initial thoughts?
I'm just, I honestly have to agree. The past decade, the 2010 to, I think, or the past few years, 6-7 years easily. The past 6-7 years, I think by far the best striker in the Premier League is Sergio Aguero. According to me.
In the past 5-6 years.
He was the best striker in the Premier League. Who else is there? Who else is there according to you? Yeah. Harry Kane. Yes, Harry Kane, I agree. But since, if you count the trophies and the goals like that and all, I'm just telling Aguero. Probably debatable. So I'll tell one of the best.
Yeah. If you count in for past 3-4 years, then I'll sneak in Aubameyang also.
Yes.
And
most. Of the best, for sure. So,
in past decade, he was the decade, best. That I love.
The thing is that until 2014, Drogba and Diego Costa and all were there. So, I will get into my debates then. So, it will become controversial.
But over a decade, like
okay, so yeah, okay, yes, the past decade. Okay, let's do that. The past decade, Sergio Aguero was the best striker in the Premier League for sure, and he literally revolutionized Man City's attack, I think, because under Mancini also he was playing really well, and you don't have to tell how well he played under Pep Guardiola. So he was really good, and I think Premier League will definitely, you know.
Like, I would like to make a statement here. Aguero,
yes,
won't be forgotten because of Aguero. Like, seriously, I'm not a Man City fan, and it did not matter to me at that time or now also. Like, Man City won back then so many years. And it was a proper classic rivalry between, like, not Manu and Man City. And then doing that in 94th
oh, yes.
Year,
okay.
95th minute, I guess.
Yes, the one of the most used commentaries.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
The game was damn
yes,
interesting.
Definitely.
One of the best games
that
ever.
Aguero commentary is really, like, literally even kids these days will know because of how, you know, gripping that goal he scored. So, him retiring from Man City is a little difficult.
And Man City
has
team has lost three legends in 3 years. Vincent Kompany, David Silva, and now Aguero. And out of this current squad, I don't think anyone has capability to match these three. Not capability, will ever match. Can be,
and
it's debatable
Phil Foden,
that Kevin De Bruyne is that level.
Because they have to... Exactly. And
you have to stay there for 10 years.
Kompany, Aguero, David Silva all stayed with the club when the club were not winning trophies, were going through hard times, and then was with the club in glory days too. So, it's a good thing that, you know, I'm actually happy to be here.
And Sergio Kun Aguero said that I would not
Champions
leave
League, yes.
Man City until I win Champions League.
Yes, exactly. This is the year.
The
if
time.
They win the Champions League this year, then I think that would be a very perfect tribute to Aguero. But I obviously do not want them to. So, let's see, I guess.
I personally don't want Man City to win either, because that will kind of prove a point that money can buy.
It's for me, it's basically the rivalry. The only thing we have above Man City right now is the European trophy. So, I think for that purpose, at least, I will.
I was watching the trophy cabinets of the teams. So, before 2004, when Roman took over you, you were way below us.
Yes,
Spurs
okay.
And particularly Spurs and Tilly. Now, I guess we have one or two extra trophies than us. And over past two decades, Chelsea is, after Man U, Chelsea is the team which ruled for me. Above Arsenal and Liverpool, because you have won everything.
Yes.
Even Liverpool won, but Liverpool had phases.
Yes.
You are consistently winning.
Mm.
Second team was Man City.
Yes.
Man City had nothing. And right now, there are three trophies behind us and maybe four trophies behind you. If they win all the season, they are as good as you.
Okay. That is what an afraid of.
If Arsenal does not win at like every year in next decade, by next decade, Man City will be third most successful team.
See, the thing is that right now, both Chelsea and Man City have 5 Premier League titles. And the only thing Chelsea fans can even talk to Man City about is the fact that we have a Champions League. So, it will be difficult if they win one.
Yeah.
But you never know, because Pep Guardiola is on a mission, and you never know if it is actually going to come.
But if it does not win this season, what would you say?
I don't think they will even think of sacking Pep. Pep only should leave the club, because I'm very sure Pep is not a manager who, you know, will get sacked and all. He'll not go that level.
Exactly. Premier League is
already written in his books. So, you never know.
Wow. Seriously, yeah. This Man City is some next level team. And some
other Haaland. News,
is there anything else you would like to... Fabrizio Romano reported yesterday morning, I guess, Haaland's father is in Barcelona. And I have a few Barcelona fans. They started sharing memes. Not memes, photos. Haaland in Barcelona jersey and all, everything they were sharing. Some people are putting status. Welcome home, son. Here you will become the world's best striker. This, that. Bullshit. Now, yesterday night, his father
went to Real. For the latest news, today he's going to come to England.
What?
Today, Haaland and his father is going to come to England. No idea. England is what Fabrizio Romano reported.
What are the contenders? Contenders for Haaland? Who are the contenders for Haaland in 150 England?
Million,
I guess it's Man City only.
Price. So the only teams which can afford Haaland is maybe us and City.
But I heard in some interview or something, I'm not sure if it was true or not, but he said that he does.
I've
not
heard
want
that
to
news also.
I'm not sure.
So, I mean, it's not like I've heard the news too, and I do not know if it's true or not. But to be honest, I was personally not a big fan of this transfer only because we have people who play that role really well. We have Tammy Abraham, we have Timo Werner who can play there, we have Kai Havertz who actually. We have Giroud who can play there.
Olivier.
So it's not like we are in a dire need of striker. So I...
And Man City and Haaland...
If Man City,
like a match made in heaven,
you know, buys Haaland, then I think it's, you know, good games to other club because De Bruyne, you don't even have to, you know, tell him what kind of passes you need and he will provide... He will make Gabriel Jesus look like prime Ronaldo. So... If Haaland and all comes, I think goals will be blasted through.
So, few days before, I was not asked. I saw a podcast, or I don't remember what a news, wherein some people were talking like if Haaland does not go to Man City, then Harry Kane should go. And then the price of Harry Kane was asked. So, what according to you is the price of Harry Kane at this point of time? Like, a lot of Sky Sports pundits and every pundit has been talking. Only one guy, 26, 27, this
I
year
would
27.
Say, 90 million?
You
what?
Know what is actual price of Harry Kane?
Okay.
Over
wow.
200. That is actually reportedly quoted by Daniel Levy. Over 200. That can break. I'm pretty sure that will
that
break.
That is a possibility, but I feel 130, 140 is the limit for Kane.
But the form that he is in right now, like Premier League's top goal scorer and assist.
Kane is world class. I have to agree that. But about 200, I don't know. I mean, he's going to go. He is in his prime right now. So.
If he's going to go somewhere, then I don't think so. Anywhere, but
exactly,
Real
exactly.
Madrid can
my
afford
point.
Him. And I don't think
Karim.
So. Real Madrid will buy him also because
exactly.
of their interest in Mbappe.
So,
and Haaland. I don't want to see Haaland in Real Madrid alongside Mbappe.
I want Haaland to go to Barcelona and Mbappe to go to Real Madrid so that, you know, there's some reason for people to watch La Liga again.
Yeah. Personally, La Liga. You know, I was when we were discussing this England's right back thing, we forgot one name that was Kieran Trippier.
Wow.
Gareth Southgate's most preferable right back. You know, I heard somewhere that he was the best right back in La Liga, has been the best right back in La Liga till now. And for us, he was with us also. And for us, he was quite average right back. Like, even in Chelsea game, he did not have a good game. But still, he's being counted as one of the best right backs in La Liga.
I so can imagine all
the levels of La Liga.
Because
that has
gone. Yeah.
But yeah. Like Hazard.
Exactly.
Being Hazard has not.
I do not know what to make of that.
Yet, so
that league itself,
that
to be honest. So I guess it's a, I don't know. Messi leaves La Liga. I think it's over for La Liga. No.
Over. Where
no
will
idea,
go,
to be honest.
Messi, I don't think so anywhere he can. Like, if Man City is to come to Man City, Messi, sorry, if Messi is come to Man City, then
exactly.
At one condition,
I honestly
I would love to
wouldn't
see
mind
that
that
Ronaldo
because,
is joining
the team. I always am a big fan of Premier League, and I would love to see two of the greatest players in the world finish their career in Premier League.
I mean,
that those plans are
tied,
but
MLS,
you know, I would love to see their you know, last few days, last few seasons, if there is an S after season in the Premier League at least.
But yeah, like it depends.
Yes.
Like truly, 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 it depends on how things go for the teams. Like top four Premier League, top four first.
Exactly.
Of all. Lot is dependent
yes.
on that. So I guess with that being said, I guess it's time to wrap up.
Thank you
so
for
thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Shiv Charan.
Bye.
Peace out and bye-bye.